The Morning Grind presents Conversation with the Candidates.
If you don't like what's going on right now, vote!
Mayoral form on Hot 103 Jams.
It's been about a month in the making since we first started talking about having the mayoral candidates in to discuss where they want to take Kansas City.
Yes.
Very first candidate is 3rd District at Large Councilperson Quentin Lucas.
Good morning, my brother.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Very good.
Wonderful. You're looking good.
You know, I'm trying. I'm trying to not eat too much. I'm at Gates all the time, but at the same time, they got me running around a lot. So I guess it's balancing out all right.
So we've got a bunch of questions, and we want to take this time to kind of get to know you more personally. Of course, we're going to dive into some of the policy things, and then we're going to play a really fun game called the 50s.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I think you should do well at this.
Okay. I don't know the 50s like that, but we'll see.
You'll be surprised, my brother.
All right. So, Barstow School educated.
Yes, ma'am.
Washington University.
Yep, St. Louis.
Cornell.
Uh-huh.
What did your education, more than just book smarts, what did it give you?
You know what? It gave me confidence. It let me know that I could do anything. And too often in our community, we don't hear that from a lot of places. A lot of kids think they kind of stuck with where they are, or they can only be with what they know. Whereas I had people telling me from when I was a little boy, no, you can do anything. You can be mayor. You can be a rich executive. You can do all these things. You can be happy. And for me, that's the difference education made. And it gave me some exposure to other places. You know, by going to those schools, sometimes I was able to bump into people from all over the country, all over the world. So that made a lot of difference for me.
One of the top priorities in this town is violence. Yeah. And trying to stop it or trying to curb it. What is your solution to the violence in our city right now?
You know what, there are a lot of them, but I said this the other day in a debate, and I'm going to say it again, which is we need to make sure we're mentoring more people. You know, I was at a funeral for a young brother, 18 years old, murdered this fall. Mm. And the interesting thing was how many other young brothers were in the same room, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, that are talking about going to funerals and all of that. We need to make sure that we've got people like myself, like Shay, like Shine, like so many others saying, now there is something for you out there, right? Sometimes you need to take a child in. I mean, doing that sort of impactful stuff with children who are out there today. I mean, I say start doing that. Of course, you do your neighborhood policing. You do your witness protection programs, which we don't have enough of, really, because a lot of people see stuff, but they don't want to talk because they're scared of what comes back at them. But I think, you know, my number one core thing, it starts with the relationship we have with our young people.
7 days from now, we'll be all headed to the polling place to cast our vote for either this man, Quentin Lucas, or your opponent, Jolie Justice, when we come back on The Morning Grind with Shay and Shine. We got more with the man who wants your vote.
The Morning Grind presents Conversation with the Candidates.
If you don't like what's going on right now, vote!
Mayoral form on Hot 103 Jams.
Back at it with the 3rd District at Large Councilperson, Quentin Lucas.
Yes.
Good to talk to y'all. You know what? I'm happy hearing that Obama cut right there. That gets me so excited.
For real,
I'm like,
though,
is he still president? This is all just a dream or something?
God bless the United States.
I was watching a comedian in cars getting coffee with Jerry Seinfeld and the president. It just looked at it, just forlorn in my eyes.
Right.
Is your leadership style similar to President Obama's?
Oh, absolutely, yes. No, I mean, I'm going to say, you know what, one thing I think, I mean, we do come from similar professions, right? I'm a law professor in my day job. I like to be thoughtful with things. I think when you look at some people, they like to just get out there and throw bombs and say, I'm going to change everything like this. It's going to be crazy. Whereas I'm somebody who likes to take my time. You know, right now I'm getting kind of some people that are coming at me saying, you haven't done enough on housing yet. And I think about how President Obama, when he got in, was saying, I want to do health insurance, but it took him a few years, right? He had to make compromises. He had to make sure he was getting something done and not just passing something that wasn't going to work immediately. So, you know, I like to say there are some parallels about how we're being thoughtful. Certainly when you're a young brother, people come at you with a number of different things, either thinking you should be radical change immediately or claiming you're selling out immediately. And my view is, you know, just keep walking your path, be smart about it, be thoughtful.
as a lifelong Kansas Cityan, who do you think has been the best mayor and why?
Best mayor for me is Emmanuel Cleaver. I think when you look at what was happening, I mean, he had the 1990s, and there were a lot of challenges. There were riots in other cities. There were all types of issues going on when you talk about keeping a city together. Our first black mayor, somebody who's continued to be involved in our community at the local level. And I think if you walk around right now, almost nobody has anything bad to say about him, right? You can't say that about a lot of other folks. I respect what others have done. Kay Barnes, our first woman mayor, really did a lot for downtown. Mayor James is this big project guy, but I respect Cleaver for what he's been able to do, keeping us together and keeping the city growing.
Recently around our area, there's been a conversation of inclusion. What is your thoughts about having more of a diverse audience at some of these big events that necessarily don't have that right now?
You know, it was interesting, and y'all gonna get me in trouble talking about Toriano's piece in the Star the other day. But, you know, it's funny because I saw both Toriano Porter's piece about this Big Slick, which wonderful charity. Don't get me wrong. Thank you to all those gentlemen who helped raise millions of dollars for Children's Mercy. But what I think the writer Toriano Porter of the Star was talking about was that if you are a person of color, sometimes when you see these things and you don't see yourself, you're kind of like, do I belong? Is it my city in the same way? And so I think it is important in everything we do to make sure we're being more inclusive. I'll give you an example so it's not just me blowing smoke. You know, in the Latino community, they continue to grow. And I represent a district that is increasingly Hispanic every year. I've had to make sure I'm reminding myself, this ain't about just the black folks in the third district. This is about a lot of other folks. How do I make sure I'm involving their community? How do I get on Hispanic radio, which I did last week? You know, I do not speak Spanish well, but, you know, making sure we're reaching out. And I think that's what we need more of in Kansas City.
We've got questions from the listeners who went on KPRS.com for the last couple of weeks. We're going to get to that in just a moment, and also find out about some of the attack ads that have been out there about you and your thoughts on it.
The Morning Grind presents Conversation with a Candidate.
If you don't like what's going on right now, vote!
Mayoral form on Hot 103 Jams.
Third District at Large Councilperson Quentin Lucas is on the show this morning.
Bright and early.
Yeah, y'all early. I mean,
3:45, we waking up.
And then y'all excited too, like smiling and all of that.
Oh, there's a check that comes every 2 weeks.
I like that.
If not for the check.
Right. I know that.
Well, you're signing up for giving your life over to the community for the next 4 years if elected.
That's right. You know, I'm proud to do it, but I mean, it's a sacrifice. You know, I know some people think we in it for money. No, right? Some people think you kind of in it for fame or prominence, which isn't my jam at all. For me, it's like making a difference. But, you know, the one part is, you know, when people see you out in the streets or on the store, they're like, what you going to do about my trash? And you say something like, well, it's still sitting right out there. So what are you going to do? And that's been kind of, you know, one of the most interesting parts. Sometimes you hear positives, sometimes you hear negatives. I will say that primarily when I'm out and about, particularly in the black community, a lot of people saying, you go, brother, stay strong with what you're doing and all of that. But yeah, you are under the microscope all the time.
How do you deal with that kind of criticism and scrutiny? Sometimes it can be wearing on your soul.
Right. You know, I mean, I try to keep it in perspective because I'd be lying if I didn't say it is wearing on your soul. I mean, I used to get on social media to just talk about, you know, my take on the Chiefs. And now people want to, you know, they want to kind of come at you and fight you or tag you when they're like, his brother ain't doing nothing. But, you know, I think the thing I do is you keep your perspective. I mean, we talked about my background before on this show, but, you know, growing up single mother, homeless part of my life, I mean, that's what I keep thinking about, trying to make better opportunities for a child like that today. And so you realize, okay, just push through all the negative, and that keeps you going.
Speaking of the negativity, there's been some negative ads that have been released to the public from your opponent. How do you address that?
I mean, look, I think it's ridiculous. But I tell you, it does make you strong because my opponent and her supporters have probably spent about $300,000-$400,000 just attacking me, which I'm like, man. You know, it's interesting the first time you see, you know, dark, grainy photos of yourself or when they're calling you unethical and untrustworthy. I mean, I think it's kind of a dog whistle. I think I have real qualms with it. My opponent had real qualms with it. but then didn't really change it up. I mean, it's not how politics need to be. I think when I look at Washington and, you know, what Trump is throwing out all the time, I don't want to be associated with that type of campaigning for whatever reason she does. And, you know, I'm just going to keep pushing my message. And I think the voters will recognize who's the one who's really pushing substance and not trying to tear somebody else down. Mm.
Got a question from one of our listeners named Aaron from Kansas City. Says, it is becoming increasingly clear that it will take targeted efforts by local government to bring equity and diversity to the city's nightlife spaces. Mm-hmm. What plans do you have to get more businesses owned by people of color and to make people of color feel more welcome in the city's top social spaces like Westport, Power and Light, the Plaza, etc.?
Yeah, step one, we need to stop making it worse in places like Westport. The city agreed to privatize the sidewalks, basically privatize in Westport so that they can kind of control who's coming in and out. I don't even think that's constitutional, right? We all have access to public spaces. And you see time and time again when they start screening people, it's mainly people that look like me and Shay and Shine. Although, me and Shay. But nevertheless, I'm playing.
That's cool, my brother.
I'm playing.
Remember, your vote is on the line.
For real,
you good.
But, you know, my thing is, you have to make sure that you're creating opportunities, frankly, for more black business owners to open in those areas, and you're not creating opportunities for discrimination. So one of my biggest things is to redo all those policies that are keeping people out. We should all be welcome, but I think we actually need more bars, nightclubs, others that are actually owned by black businesses that I think will really work with the community building good opportunities.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about you as a candidate?
You know, I think right now there are all these different attacks and all that sort of stuff. There's this misconception about where I'm from, right? And a lot of people say, yeah, I don't know you. I don't know what you're about or anything. I mean, I am from... I'm from the city, right? We moved around a lot, but I remember living 41st Indiana, 52nd Bell Fountain, you know, a whole bunch of areas. And my thing is, you know, I've been able to have some good opportunities, but I never left, right? When I was at Cornell, I was thinking about Kansas City. When I got done with all this sort of stuff, I came back to Kansas City. And I'm from the community and I'm for the community. And I think people, once they get a chance to talk to me, know that. But don't always, if you see a kind of a refined brother, you don't necessarily think that.
I have a couple of questions about tax breaks, incentives, and attracting big business to Kansas City. When we come back, we'll continue on with our possibly next mayor.
Crazy.
The Morning Grind presents Conversation with a Candidate.
If you don't like what's going on right now, vote!
Mayoral form on Hot 103 Jams.
Third District at Large, Councilperson Quentin Lucas on The Morning Grind with Shay and Shine.
A pleasure. Thank you, my brother.
Good to be with y'all. This is always fun.
What can the Office of Mayor do to attract jobs into Kansas City from large companies like Amazon versus small businesses like Leon's Thriftway had to close down?
That's right. You know, we do a lot to try to bring in big jobs from places like Amazon. We don't do enough to bring big jobs for smaller businesses. So what we can do for larger places is you give these big incentives. Y'all probably heard of the Cerner project off 435. But the problem is those aren't always community changing. I think, you know, when you look at America generally, most jobs are with employers of 25 or less. And so for me, I think the big thing I want to do is make sure that we're giving more job opportunities to businesses in the urban core, making sure we're giving more incentives, and incentives not just based on like your property taxes, but also sales taxes, all those sorts of things, allowing people to reinvest in their businesses. And so that's the sort of work we need to do. But I would be a clean break kind of from the current administration. Right now, they've done a lot of those kind of home run projects, the big ones. I want to say, how can I help out more businesses? That dude trying to open a store at 36th and Benton, somebody trying to do something off of Van Brunt. That's what we need long term.
We definitely do, because it seems as though there's been money earmarked or tax incentives for some of these big corporations who are putting up these expensive high rises for people to live in,
right?
But it doesn't seem like the money ever makes it into the pocket of the common man.
Right. No, and it doesn't. I mean, if you look at, and I'm not throwing shade at any Kansas City business, I love a lot of folks, but there are some businesses where everybody gets off of work at 435 and Bannister, drives right back to Kansas, right? What we need to make sure is when we build in our community, when we're building those stores that are in the middle of the city, right, we're getting people opportunities. Some people need second chances to get work, and that's where my focus is going to be. I mean, I teach in prisons, and one of the biggest things is I know a lot of brothers and sisters coming back say, I just want an opportunity. Mm.
So the NFL draft will be here in 2023.
Yes, sir.
If you are mayor by that time, what will be your plans for the influx of visitors that we'll have in the town?
You know, it was something you asked about before, which is how do we show the true character and color of Kansas City? I want to make sure that we're not just sitting up at, you know, it will likely be Union Station, but I'm not sure where. You know, we can't just show off kind of the pretty buildings. We need to make sure people are getting a chance to see what I hope is an 18th and Vine district that is popping and entertaining, and a place that you have a lot of small businesses, bars, and others that are making things exciting. I want to make sure that we're showing the character of Kansas City and diversity in every entertainment district. And more than anything, we need to make sure people are safe. You know, nothing worse than folks coming to town and something pops off. And so I want to make sure we got that whole balance by the time we come. And then, of course, the Chiefs need to have a Super Bowl by then.
Amen, you know, my brother.
That's
Amen.
What we need. That's what we need.
Yes.
Here's another question from KPRS.com from Jamar. He would like to know if you would support the film and television industry when it comes to incentives and tax credits to film movies and television series within our city.
I would. You know, when you think about a place like Georgia, and they always run into trouble with it, but nevertheless, Georgia's a place that attracts a lot of movies being filmed, television series, all of that. A lot of these that are even based in Missouri, sometimes like Ozark, which I didn't watch, but, you know, I think was filmed in Georgia. We need to do more of that in Kansas City. You know, we are positive about doing that. State of Missouri is sometimes our challenge. And so getting the folks in Jefferson City to recognize how this is just more money for us is going to be key. You also got to show your culture, kind of like they did with the Queer Eye show, and that's how we can get it done.
When I take on any new opportunity, I develop a 30, 60, 90, 180-day plan to keep myself focused on my goals, because oftentimes as you're doing the work of the job,
right,
you can get sidetracked as you're putting out fires. Do you have a specific 30, 60, 90, 180-day plan for Kansas City?
You know, I'm probably, I've got a 30-day plan. And the 30-day plan is to make sure we're getting some of the key things I've been talking about started. Number one, I will talk to the superintendent of schools at every one of the 14 school districts in Kansas City. We cannot make this city better without wrapping our arms around the educational establishment and making sure we're supporting them and saying, how can we make sure that when that kid gets off the bus, they still have a good life, they still have recreational activities, et cetera. So that's my step one. Step two is talking not just to the police department, and I'm gonna work with them, but also talking to victims, talking to criminal defendants, talking to those who've been in and out of the system about what can we do to address crime long term in Kansas City.
Well, we've got a fun game we want to play with you. Before we get to that, Brian, do you have any other questions for?
Well, I have a listener question from Robert from Kansas City. He wants to know, how will you bridge the gap between police and community relations?
Yeah, I mean, I think step one, you need to make sure you're hiring more police from the community. We need to get a diverse and well-trained force, and we need to work harder to do that every day. The next step is, you know, when I talk about neighborhood policing, I'm talking about having officers that get to know people, get to know the community center, get to know the folks who are there. So you don't just have police officers that are driving around town, showing up at a scene, usually coming a little bit aggressively, but instead kind of somebody who's like, okay, you know what, kids play basketball the park at night, and as one of those folks who's been playing basketball in the park at night, and I once had officers walk up with, like, you know, their guns on their hands on their guns on the hip saying, what's up? That's a problem we have sometimes. So I want to build those relationships, saying the department needs to actually interact with people kind of like a friendlier level, right, than what we see most of the time.
Speaking of basketball, there are many single women who are listening on their way to work right now.
Lord.
What about an NBA team so that we could possibly have some potential
though
husbands?
Man, I thought you were
I'm helping out my sister.
Right. This is why I can't get an ego. I thought she was trying to hook me up real quick. I was like, well, you know what? I mean, send your resume to Shay. I would love to have a basketball team. You know, everybody tells me, though, the Sprint Center is full all the time. You know, we've got a lot of stuff. But you know what? If the NBA called, I'd certainly talk to them.
Yes.
That would be super exciting.
It'd be fun.
Nah, for real, though.
You know what? We should take the Knicks because Lord knows they ain't doing nothing.
Nah, they ain't going nowhere. That's the most valuable team in the league. True. They ain't going nowhere. Now, if you're talking about the Magic or, you know, the Pelicans or something.
The Pelicans.
Yeah, we'll take them.
We'll be continuing on with the candidate for the next mayor office, Mr. Quentin Lucas.
That's coming up at 8:04.
The Morning Grind presents Conversation with a Candidate.
If you don't like what's going on right now, vote!
Mayoral form on Hot 103 Jams.
We've got a chance to learn a little bit more about Mr. Quentin Lucas, 3rd District at Large Councilperson, looking for your vote on June 18th. Jolie Justice will be on the show tomorrow, Brian. We'll get an opportunity to learn a little bit more about her, her policy, and what she sees for the future of Kansas City.
It's going all the way down.
So, gotten all of the formalities out of the way. Right. We're going to have a little fun with you today. So, we're going to ask a question. You've got four choices, A, B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. If you choose your answer correctly, you'll be greeted with an affirmative rejoicement.
Mm-hmm.
If not...
Such as this.
If not... Is it going to be booze?
Oh,
the buzzer.
Okay. That buzzer. All right.
And now it's time to play the 50s. And here are your hosts, The Morning Grind with Shay and Shy.
Brought to you by...
Yes, our first contestant this morning, Brian, is Quentin Lucas.
Welcome to the show, Quentin.
Good to be with you.
Now, some of these questions, if you were born, raised, or if you ever shopped in the 50s, you should know the answer to these questions.
Uh-oh.
5100.
First question. What did LL Cool J want his around-the-way girl to have? A, diamond earrings. B, extensions in her hair. C, a Chanel bag. D, a big butt.
LL Cool J, man, I don't even know. I'm going to go with A.
Oh, Lord. Come on, Quentin.
My man.
Come on, dog.
It was, oh, see,
extensions
now,
in the air.
No, oh, see.
With
at least two pair.
See, come see, on, now my mama clowning on me, too.
With know? A new edition Bobby Button on the sleeve.
This going to be something now.
All
right. I'm going to try to get something right. All right.
Who played Ricky in Boys in the Hood? A, Ice Cube. B, Tupac. C, Morris Chestnut. D, Cuba Gooding Jr.
I mean, all right, so Boys in the Hood, we knew that Cuba Gooding Jr. was in it. We had Ice Cube, too. I don't remember which
one. Ricky! Hey! You don't remember that part?
Man, nah, I ain't watched that movie in 15 years. It's a good movie.
No.
It's a good movie, but you know, I'm going to guess A and D, and I'm going to get one wrong. Dang. Let's go with A.
Oh, for two.
Oh, man.
Morris Chestnut. Quentin, come on, dog.
Man, I can't even place Morris Chestnut right now.
What was the professor's name on the Parkers? A, Daryl. B, James. C, Philip. D, Stanley.
Man, y'all got to get an 80s game, all right? This is 50s game, man. All right.
I don't even know this
one. Man, I don't know this one.
Y'all don't?
Let's go with C. We're just going to go with C.
It's Stanley Ogilvy? Y'all.
What?
Was it right? Did he get it wrong?
Yeah, I got it wrong.
I got it wrong.
Jesus, this is embarrassing.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
Okay, answer this question. It's the term for cutting relaxed hair off to leave only natural hair. A, scissoring. B, hair splitting. C, the big chop. Or D, shingling.
Y'all gonna talk to a bald dude about it. Man, I ain't had hair since 1996.
For real?
You better talk to your mama. Your mama knows this answer.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
You use a lifeline.
Yeah, I got
man.
A lifeline. I'm gonna go with C.
Correct.
There we go.
The big chop.
There we go.
Mommy did the big chop, I'm sure. This is the last question.
Man.
Yeah, this has been brutal.
This is my worst exam ever. Yeah.
Who is Prince Akeem's silky smooth rival in Coming to America? A, Randy Watson, B, Tommy, C, Cleo McDowell, or D, Daryl?
I mean, that's so it's Eric LaSalle, right?
Yes, it is. And my then,
and dang, what was Eric LaSalle's name in that? See, I even got that. Okay, A. D. D, I'm sorry, my bad. D.
He got D, okay. Daryl is
okay,
correct.
Okay, good, got a lot of help.
Eric LaSalle was his name.
Thank you.
It was Eric LaSalle. See, I'm right. Picking up. I just need to play another 20 minutes.
Well, yeah, I guess you've been using your time to learn about policy and you haven't been watching movies and or listening to music.
you have no life, but you're going to be good in government, though.
He ain't lying.
There we go.
We want to thank you so much for spending this morning with us. We know you've got a lot to do. You've got a debate tonight on Channel 9.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So we'll, of course, be watching you. And
when is that debate? Is it 7 o'clock? Yeah, 7 o'clock, Channel 9. Yeah. So everybody make sure you watch and then make sure you vote next week, Tuesday, June 18th.
That's right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Quentin.
Thank you.